Well, Ketav, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We're now beginning our study of the fifth parak of Masechet Ketubot, parak Alf Al Pi. It'll begin at the beginning with Mishnah Aleph. And in this podcast, we will analyze the first half of the Mishnah, although we'll quickly read through the second half. But we'll reread it in advance of the next podcast, where we'll be examined. Alf Bisharmu B'tula Govama Taim Ha'manam Maneh, even though there is a basic ketubah of 200 to 100. A person could add even 100 maneh, meaning that a ketubah is 200, meaning 2 maneh, or an almanah gets 1 maneh. You could even add 100 times as much if you want. Now, what's the chiddush in that? The Gemara will immediately address. Nit armala unit garsha. This is something we saw recently. If she is divorced or widowed, bein min harus and bein hanisuin, kovat hakol. The position of Chachamim is that even if only after Erusin, and he had for some reason already written the ketubah and added in lots of other things, then she collects everything. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer min hanisuin kovat hakol min haErusin v'duhla kovat matayim v'amanam maneh. Shelo katav la el amanat lechonsa. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that if she was divorced or widowed from Nisuin, she collects everything, but if it was from Erusin, then she only collects the base 200 or 100, because he only wrote the extra based on the assumption of Chuppah. We will see this immediately analyzed, try to figure out what the dispute is between Rabbi Elazar and ben Azariah and Chachamim. The second half of the Mishnah is something that we also saw very recently. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imratza kotev li v'tula shtar shal matayim v'hi kotevet kabalti v'mcha maneh, v'la manah maneh v'hi kotevet kabalti v'mcha 50 zuz. So a person could write a regular ketubah, and she could write a receipt saying, I got half of it, whether 200 or 100 or 150, if they wanted to have an agreement where the ketubah really would only be half the amount. So you cannot write a ketubah that is for a lesser amount, but you could write a proper ketubah, and then she could write a fictitious receipt, as it were, that indicates that she already received half of it, and then she'll only collect the other half. And that is Rabbi Yehuda's position. He disagrees and says, any time that you give a betulah less than 200, or an almanah less than 100, it is bi'ilad znut, which means he does not allow for having less than that amount backing up the ketubah. Now, Pshita, the Gemara immediately addresses the opening line about the ability to write a tosefet. That's obvious. Ma'uritema kitsuta of the Rabbanan shalavai should mishain lo. Now, I would have reason to think that the Rabbanan would make a limitation, a cap, as it were, and say that you could have no more than X amount tosefet, twice as much as the ketubah, whatever it may be, so as not to embarrass somebody who can't afford that. Kamash Balan, that's not the case, and there is no cap. Okay, now the wording of it, though, is interesting. Ratzala hosif, etc. Now, ratzala ichtov la loktani ala ratzala hosif. Notice that the Mishnah does not say that if he wanted to write as in a separate obligation, he may write as much as he wants, but rather it says if he wanted to add, indicating that the extras, the tosefet, is really part of the ketuvah. Messiah le Rabbi Aibu, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Amar Rabbi Aibu, Amar Rabbi Yanai. So Rabbi Yanai said the following thing: Tanae ketuvah kichtuvah adami. All of the other things that are associated with the ketuvah have the same halachot as the ketuvah. That means the nedunya, and that means that the tosefet and everything else has the same din as the ketuvah. Lama nafkamina. So for what purpose? Why do I care if it's kichtuvah or not kichtuvah? The answer is for any circumstance where ketubah will be limited, or will be expanded, or will be forgiven, or will be sold, etc., the Tanai ketubah go along with it. And we have a long list of things, and I'll go through them quickly. Lemocheret, if she sells the ketubah, that includes the whole thing. Lemochelet, if she forgives the ketubah, then she's forgiven everything, including the tosefet. Lemoredet, a woman who's moredet, that we'll deal with later on in the seventh parak, a woman who refuses to have relations with her husband, loses huktubah, or a certain amount is taken away from huktubah every week, and that will also be from tosefet. Ula fogemet, if a woman collects part of her ketubah, fogemet ketubata, then when she comes to the halacha is, we'll see this in the eighth parak, that when she wants to come and collect, she has to collect with a shvuah. That's true also if she's pogemet, the tnai ketubah. The tova'at, if she's tovea her ketuvah. So Chachamim say that if she's Toveh or Ktuvah, immediately she loses Mizonot, like an Almanah. We saw earlier at the end of the previous parak that if an Almanah is Tovah and Ktuvata, she immediately loses her Mizonot. That's true. If she's Tovah, also the Tna'e Ktuvah, the Tosefet. Uloveret al dat, who we'll meet in the seventh parak, is a woman who does not behave in accordance with the norms of modesty and proper behavior, and she may be divorced in certain circumstances without a ktubah. It means she'll also lose tnai ktubah. L'shevach, shevach means as follows. The halacha is that a woman, just like a bechor getting pishnaim, a woman only gets the amount for the ktubah of the perot based on the value that was added to them up until the time the husband died. But if after the husband died the value went up, that goes to the Yitomim. That is also true about Tosefet. Lishvua, right? All the halachot that apply to a shvua. For instance, if she collects the ketuvah without the heirs being there, or if the husband's alive, if it's a divorce, and she collects without him being there, she has to take a shvua, etc. All of that applies equally to Tosefet ketuvah. Ulishvi'it, here it's a little bit in her benefit. Shemitah does not cancel out the debt of a ketuvah, for obvious reasons, and that applies also to Tosefet ketuvah. So she does not have to write a prusbul to make sure that that debt is still collectible after Shemitah. This is a Mishnah in Peah. If a man writes all of his property over to his sons, and he writes even one field over to his wife, if she accepts it, then she loses her ktuvah. So she also loses tnai ktuvah. Ligvot mina karka mina ziburit. Also that she has the right to collect from land, including from land that's mishubad, and she can only collect from the lowest grade land, from ziburit. That's true also about Tosefet. V'cholzman she beveit aviyah, and the halacha that if she's a widow who remains on the estate, she can stay there as long as she wants, and she does not lose her rights to claim the ketuvah at whatever point. But if she goes back to her father's house, then she has 25 years, a significant amount of time. But if she's left the estate, she has 25 years. That means after 25 years, she turns around and wants to collect her ketuvah, she can't, and she can also not collect the tna'e ketuvah. They're part of it. Ulechtuvat Panim Dichrin, and for Ktuvat Panim Dichrin that we just saw in the previous parak, Ktuvat Panim Dichrin applies also not just to the 100 and 200, but applies to all the Tosefet, that the Tosefet Ktuvah goes uniquely to her sons that she has with this man and not to his other sons. Okay, now Itmar, we have a few questions, all of them that end up with a machloket between the rabbis in Pumbadita and the rabbis in Mata Machsia about several issues that are related and one that's not related. Tuvat Panim Dichrin, Pumbadita Amri Lotarfim Mishabdi. In Pumbadita, the rabbis said that she cannot collect Tuvat Panim Dichrin. They cannot collect Tuvat Panim Dichrin from Mishuabadim because Yartun Tnan, because the wording in the Mishnah back in the fourth parak is Inun Yartin Ksaf Ktubatich. They will inherit. In other words, Ktuvat Panim Dichrin is an inheritance. An inheritance, heirs obviously do not come and start collecting from everybody that ever bought property from their father from after the minute they were born. They don't collect. They only collect that which is free and clear. But in Mata Machsia, Amri Tarf Mishabdi. They said no. If the Ktuvat Panim Dichrin has a certain amount in it, they can go and collect it even from property that had already been sold, if it was sold after the marriage to their mother. Because Yispun Tanan, they read in the Mishnah, not Yartun, they will inherit, but rather Yispun, they will take as a Balchov. V'hilchata lotar from Mishabdi. The halacha is that they cannot collect from Mishubadim, because Yartun Tanan, as our Mishnah reads it, back in the fourth parak, the proper reading is Yartun, they will inherit. Now, next piece. Metaltali v'tanu be'nayhu. So we all agree that if a man designates some metaltalin to be collected for the ketuvah, if they're still around, so she collects it without a shvuah. There is no, because why would a woman have to take a shvuah in another case? The concern is that he may have given her metaltalin in place of her ketuvah. So when she comes to collect the ketuvah, she has to take a shvuah that she has not collected any part of that payment, because the husband's dead and the heirs don't know. So if he designated metaltalin and they're still around, that record collection, that pile of clothes, whatever it may be, then she could take a below shvuah. Leitanu beinayu, let's say that they're gone and now she's coming to claim a same amount, same value, another metaltalin. Pumadita amri below shvuah. They say same thing applies. Pumadita amri bishvuah. Right? And behilchata, the halacha is below shvuah. Again, we follow the pumbaditai, metaltalin that are not around are treated like metaltalin that are around, and her claim is without a shvuah. Yichela araba arba ametzonaha. Now, if he designated particular land for collection of the ketubah, again, she can collect the ketubah without a shvuah. If he marked it with all four borders, then it's very clear that he was never going to give her anything else for the ketubah, so we don't have to be concerned that she collected it from something else. Below shvuah. What about pachat metzor? What if he only marked it off with one boundary? He didn't just say some land, but he marked a particular piece of land, but only marked it with one boundary, which means it's a little unclear which piece of land it is. Again, Pumbadita 4, Matamachsia nothing. Now, Amarla Eidim Kitvu Vachitmu Vahavule, Knumine. Now, here you have a Shchivmira, a guy who is on his deathbed, and he says to the people who are standing there, take some karkaros. Not necessarily Shchivmira, but a man says to Eidim, I want you to write a shtar and give it to him, and make a kinyan. Now, if they made a kinyan from him, then the Eidim do not have to come back to the fellow when they're about to give the gift and say, are you sure you still want to give the gift? If they made a kinyan, that's clear. But lo konumune, let's say the Eidim did not come and make a kinyan from him. They said, you still don't have to come back and ask because he said, kitvu v'chitmu v'havulei, write it and give it to him. Right? So they don't have to check if he still means it. And here, finally, Bnei Matamachsi have the halacha going their way. You do have to go back and ask him, because since he didn't make a kinyan, maybe that meant that he was really teasing them, or he didn't really mean it, or wasn't really sure, and therefore you have to go back and see if he really wants to give the gift. Okay, now, in the Mishnah, we said that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that she can only collect the 100 or 200 if the ketubah was, if the marriage was dissolved before Nisuin. And Itmar, Rav Rabbi Natan, Chadamar Alacha Kor Balazman Azariah, V'Chadamar Ein Alacha Kor Balazman Azariah. So this now goes to the first generation of Amoraim, the last generation of Tanaim. So Machloket between Rav and Rabbi Natan about whether the Halachas Kor Balazman Azariah or not, and we don't know who said what. We're going to see at the end of this sugya that this is a long-running question, both in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, of whether Rulak Kor Balazman Azariah. So there's a Machloket at this point. Just a quick introduction. It seems from the wording of the Mishnah that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is looking very much at the intent of the man when he wrote the Tosefet. Because he says the man wrote the Tosefet because he was anticipating a wedding. If the wedding never happened, then it shouldn't be there. And Chachamim seem to look at it cut and dried. The guy wrote the Tosefet, it's in the Ketubah, Zeu. That's what we think. So based on that, we think that Rabbi Natan must be the one who says halachaz kor balazim and azariah. The Sheminan lay the Rabbi Natan da azil batar umdana, because we know that Rabbi Natan takes into account our own estimation of the intent of the fellow who's no longer available, who wrote the shtar. The Amar Rabbi Natan halacha kor b'shimon shezuri b'misukan uvitrumat maser shel dmai. They said the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Shezuri in these two cases. The second one, trumat maser shel dmai, is not relevant to us, but the first one, which is misukan, is the Mishnah in Gitin that says that if somebody goes out on a dangerous trip, and he says as he's leaving, write a get for his wife, even though he didn't say tnu, they can write it, because they assume that he was so upset and worried about and anxious about his trip that he didn't remember it. Now, Rabbi Shimon Sazuri adds that the same is true about a misukan. Somebody's on his deathbed, and he doesn't say it. We again assume that he really intended to say tnu, but he was so upset and so worried and so anxious about the last moments of his life that he neglected to say it. And because we see that Rabbi Natan says we rule like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, that means that he does favor taking into account our own estimation of the intent of the person, and that seems to follow Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The only problem is, Rav lo azal batar umdana, Rav doesn't take that into account. Vayidmar matnat shchiv mira, shekatuv ba kinyan. Matnat shchiv mira is a matana given by somebody who's on his deathbed, or he thinks he's on his deathbed. This is something we'll get to in Bava Batra in the eighth parak, in the ninth parak, Bigadol. But it's something that appears throughout Shas. If a person is on his deathbed, or what he thinks is his deathbed, and he tells the people around him to give a matana to certain people, then the following halachot apply. If he gives everything away, and then he gets better, then he could change his make and take it all back. because, after all, it's clear that his intention was, he thinks he's going to die. Once he got better, he never would have given it away. If he leaves some, he doesn't give everything away. He leaves some for himself. Then that means that he was doing an apportionment based on the notion that he may live. So if he does recover, that kinyan stays. However, matlat shchimira does not need to have a proper kinyan done, and it's still valid. It's a kula the Rabbanan made to allow people to, you know, in the last moments, to be able to disperse their wealth as they wished. So now, what happens if you have matnat shchimira, where it says in it, kaninan, that we did make a kinyan? Rav mishmei derav amri, so in Rav's yeshiva they said, arkavei atrei rachshi, they've carried the guy in two pillars, meaning that the guy has the power, the advantage of matnat shchimira and a regular matana. Shmuel Amar lo yadana ma'idun ba. And Shmuel said the opposite is, I don't know what to do with this. We'll see how weak it is. Now, b'vei rav mishmei derav amri arkavei atrei rachshi, what does it mean that, that they said it's riding on two pillars, as it were? It means as follows. Harei kamanat bari, varei kamanat shchimira. It has the power or the advantage of being a matnat bari and the advantage of being a matnat shchimira. Harei kamanat bari, de'im amad enoya cholach zorbo, because it's like a matnat bari in that if he gets better and he recovers, he cannot change his mind, unlike a matnat shchimira if he gave everything away. Harei kamanat shchimira, shimamar halvati leploni, halvata leploni. After all, shchimira, if he says, when he's in that circumstance, he says, the loan that I owe to Ploni, I'm forgiving, that Ploni owes me, I'm forgiving, it works. So here it certainly works, which means, basically Rav says, we take into account his estimation, we say, he took advantage of the fact that he's a shchimira, plus he added kinyan, to make it a super powerful thing, and that's what he intended, which means we take into account his intent. Shmuel amar lo yadana ma'idun ba. Shmuel says, I'm not sure what to do with this. Maybe the reason the guy wrote kinyan was because in the end he decided, I only want this to happen with a shtar, and you can't have a shtar lachamita, which means Shmuel said, basically, the whole thing's worthless. You can't do anything with it. Now, so we see that Rav also follows Umdana and says that we take into account how we estimate what the fellow's intent was. Ella tarvayu azli batar Umdana. So the clear piece is that Rav and Rabbi Natan both accept Umdana, which means we're back at square one. We don't know which one would have said halacha korban hazman azari and which one wouldn't have. So man damar halacha shapir. So whichever one of them said halacha korban hazman azari, that's smooth because that's based on Umdana. So man damar ein halacha. So how can anybody who accepts the notion of Umdana say that halacha does not follow Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Hachanami Umdan Datahu. The answer is that this is also an Umdana. Shumikruva Daitahu. He says the reason that the fellow wrote the Tosefet was to make the families feel close together and to be connected. Vaikruvale Data. And that was accomplished because they got betrothed and they got towards the wedding. The fact that the wedding never happened, separate thing. In other words, we're not saying that the Machloket or Belazman Azari and Chachamim is, do we accept Umdan Data? Of course we do. The only question is, what is the Umdana? What is our estimation of his intent? His intent all about the first night and about the chuppah, or his intent about the family connection? And therefore, therein lies the machloket. Before we go any further, just to go back and note just briefly that Shimon Shazuri's approach to Trumat Maser Shel Demai is as follows. It's a Mishnah Masachat Demai that if you have Trumat Maser, which means you separated Maser, and from that Maser the Levi separated his tenth to give to the Kohen, and it fell back into the original pile of stuff. And so therefore, all of it is Asur because of Meduma. You don't have 100 times as much. It's all Asur. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, you can go up to the Am Haaretz that you originally bought the Perot from, and you could say, remember, you're taking Trumat Maser Shel Demai, which means you bought this whole pile of stuff from an Am Haaretz, which means, Mi'ikar Adin, really, it's all good. And you don't have to separate anything. And Rov Am Haaretz Maasrim Heim. Ella, the Rabbanon made a takana because in minority cases, a few cases, the Am Haaretz were not careful. You have to separate Maser and Trumat Maser, Trumat Gdola and Trumat Maser, Maser Sheni, of course, Misafek. So if you had the Trumat Maser Shel Demai and it fell back, and now the entire thing is stuck, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, even on a weekday, because we all agree that you can ask an Am Haaretz b'Shabbat, whether or not the stuff he sold you was properly separated, and you believe him because of Eimat Shabbat, he's afraid to lie on Shabbat. Interesting sociological comment. But Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, even Bechol, you can ask him, and if he says, yes, I did separate Trumot to Maserot, you can eat it, And you can rely on it because there is no way to fix this in any case. That, of course, has nothing to do with the issue of Umdana, but just to clarify what that line was. Rabbi Natan said, we follow Rabbi Shimon Zuri in both those cases. All right, back to Nun Vav Amud Aleph at the top. Yativ Rav Chanina Kamed Rabbi Yana B'Kamar Halacha Korban Lazav Nazariah. All right, so this is now in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chanina said that the halacha is like Rabbi Zanazaria. Amar the Rabbi Yana, his Rebbe said to him, "Full cry, cry echlevra. Take your psukim outside. Ain't halacha Rabbi Zanazaria. We don't follow him." Yitzchak Bar Avdim Mishum Rabbeinu, and Rabbeinu would probably be Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha Rabbi Zanazaria. Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel halacha Rabbi Zanazaria. Now we switch to Bavel. Rav Nachman quoted Shmuel as saying, "We do follow Rabbi Zanazaria." Rav Nachman didei Amar ain't halacha Rabbi Zanazaria. But he said, "As far as I'm concerned, we don't paskin that way," which means he's quoting his Rebbe as saying we do. He's disagreeing and saying we don't. But that's one report of Rav Nachman said. The Nahardeans, remember the row of students from Nahardea who were exiled to Pumbadita, they quote Rav Nachman as saying that halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Even though Rav Nachman issued a curse and said, "Call Dayane de Doin Rav Elazar ben Azariah hachi v'achi tehave," any judge who rules like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, this such and such will happen to him, such imprecations. Here the Gemara does something which is not all that common. It records all the different approaches, the two different approaches, but all the different people who had the differing approaches on the Psak. It says, nonetheless, halacha is Korban Lazaria, and then it repeats, and in practice we rule like Korban Lazaria, which means that if a wedding never takes place, she can only collect the matayim, and not Tosefet, even if it was written earlier. Now, Boy Ravin, based on that, we have the following question. Nichtensala chuppah v'lo nivola. Let's say that she had chuppah, which means in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's world, that might be enough that if at that point he died or changed his mind and divorced her, she'd still get the full ketubah. So let's say that she had the chuppah, but not the first night pe'ilah. He died in the middle of the celebrating, the dancing. Mahu, chibat chuppah kona or chibat bia kona? Is it his anticipation, excitement about sharing the chuppah with her, or is it actually the relations that are creating it? Which means, does she get the tosefet or not? So Toshman, Tan Rav Yosef, shelo katav la ela al chibat laila harishon. Rav Yosef said, what's the reason that she does not get tosefet if it happened before? If it was dissolved before the wedding? Because he wrote it because of the attraction and the excitement of the first night. What does that mean? If you agree that that means chuppah, that's why he said the first night. If it's about the bia, belaila rishon ita mikan ve'elach leita. What, there's only bia the first night? Chuppah is one night. Bia is much longer. So if Yosef should have said that he wrote the extra because of chibat bia, rishon's laila rishon. Ve'elamai chuppah. So you're going to say it means chuppah? So chuppah belaila ita v'yamama leita. Since when do you only have chuppah at night? In other words, you're going to call Laila Rishon isn't exactly chuppah, because chuppah could be during the day, and isn't exactly bia, because bia is not limited to Rishon. So, v'li tamech bia b'laila ita b'yamama leita. By the way, Laila is also not defining bia. Hamaravim, ayaba vayita fel mutar. Even though common protocol indicates that one does not have bia during the day, but if you're in a dark house, you're allowed to. House where it's really as dark as night, you're allowed to. Which means that it's not that bia is limited to nighttime. So both Bia and Chuppah fail the Laila test, if you will. So Halokasha Orach Ara Kamashmalan to Bia Balaila, that's not a problem, because just talking in the normal way, and telling us the normal thing is you have Bia Balaila. Elo Chuppah Kasha. But if you're going to say it's Chuppah, then why say Laila? So the answer is Chuppah Nami Lo Kasha. You could say it also means Chuppah. It was still riffing on off of Rav Yosef's statement, Shalo Katav La'ela Al Chibat Laila Rishon. Since Stam Chuppah is oriented towards having Bia afterwards, therefore it's the proper thing that the Chuppah is also Balayla. That's the normal custom. And that's what it's sort of throwing our way. Which means that when Rav Yosef says, Shelo Katav La'ela Al Chibat Laila Rishon, it could be referring to both. Which means we're still kind of stuck. So he then asked the following question. What if she comes into the chuppah and they don't have bia, not because he died in the meantime, but she became a nida, and this is following the notion that chuppah alone would have been enough in the previous discussion. If chuppah alone would have been enough, then Rav Ashi asked the following, which seems to indicate that in the previous discussion we ruled that chuppah really would be enough. But then he asks as follows, what if she came into the chuppah and she became a nida? Mahu im timsalam chibat chupa kona chupa dechazi labia. He said, even if you say that the chuppah is enough, maybe it has to be a chuppah that could have a bia. Have a chuppah lochazi labia lo, but a chuppah that is not ra'ui labia, because she's a nida, maybe that would not be good. O dilma lo shnar, perhaps we don't distinguish that once there was a chuppah, there was a chuppah. After all, chuppah nida is kona. So the answer is teku, and we leave it as a question. And Yitzhak Hashem, in the next podcast, we will go back to the second half of the Mishnah, look at Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir's dispute, and we will then analyze their opinions in the Gemara, as we complete this particular discussion. Everyone should have a wonderful day.